Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. The president is
back. Never let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Don't let anybody take your man.
Does I remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready. Welcome again to Esprit.net News on Esprit Radio and on the Ask Kathleen Network. I want to say welcome to our weekly news wrap-up show. I'm your host, Jerome. Now, on this program, President Barack Obama, yes, this is not a replay or repeat or something from the archives, but President Barack Obama on World Refugee Day criticized Trump's policy of separating migrant children and families. You know, hip-hop artist or singer Akon, I guess they wanted to put him as a rapper too, but Akon has unveiled plans to build his own futuristic city in Senegal, and Canada sets legalization date of October 17th after the Senate passed bill to legalize recreational marijuana. So only two countries, I guess it's Uganda, or I think it's Uganda, don't quote me on this, but I know Canada is going to be second country to legalize marijuana. Okay, so just so you know. And, you know, also on this program, we have, let's see, what else, I'm sorry. And also, you know, white folks are dying off faster than being born in a majority of U.S. states. And, you know, we have more on that. We have This Week in Court and much more. So I want to welcome you again on to the show. This is our weekly news wrap-up show. I'm your host. I know we're going to have the commish Kathleen on in a minute, and hopefully my girl Kai will tune in. If you have any questions or comments, you can put them in the chat, or you can actually send them to us, and we'll see if we're going to put them on the show. I'm not sure we're going to do that, but we'll see if we can put it on the show. Now, our first story, over 300,000 homes on the U.S. coast could flood every 2 weeks in the next 30 years. This is according to a new report. The Union of Concerned Scientists did an analysis, and it says it looks at homes and commercial property throughout the coastline of the United States at risk of flooding that happens at least 26 times a year or more. So they figure that over 300,000 homes on the U.S. coast will flood every 2 weeks in the next 30 years. There you have it. You can go look it up. I'm not just making that one up. Now, Starbucks is to close 150 stores next year, three times as many as normal, as the coffee chain struggles to compete. Now, Starbucks will close, they said, 150 of their poorly performing company-operated stores next year. Now, there's rumors that they're just not selling because of the, you know, emergence of McDonald's and Dunkin' Donuts, but we're not sure about this. But this is just coming from Starbucks. Starbucks didn't say why. They just said that they are, you know, getting rid of some of their underperforming stores. Now, Amazon shareholders pen a letter to their CEO, Jeff Bezos, demanding that the company stop selling recognition real-time facial tracking software. Now, they're selling it to police departments and law enforcement. So nearly 20 groups of Amazon shareholders pressured the tech company in a letter to their CEO to stop selling facial recognition software to law enforcement. Now, I didn't know that Amazon actually does sell their facial recognition software. So technically, if you have an Amazon account, don't activate your facial recognition software. It's probably already sold. I don't know what to tell you. But there you have it. Now, privacy fears have led to 4 in 10 people deleting their social media accounts in the past year. Now, people are turning their backs on social networks, according to this story, due to privacy concerns. Now, that's according to a new study which surveyed people in 9 countries worldwide, including the U.S. and the U.K. So, you know, for those who put out too much information on social media, I guess this is your turn to kind of back it up and roll it up a little bit and get out of that world, I guess. So, again, 4 out of 10 worldwide has already deleted them. Now, aid workers for a charity called Medecins Sans Frontières, I guess is what it's called, uses prostitutes and sold medication while working in Africa. Now, whistleblowers have come out to make these claims. Now, the allegations have been made against support staff rather than doctors or nurses. Now, this company called MSF, which is known as Doctors Without Borders, in case you didn't know, the spokesman said that they're deeply saddened that the people making the allegations were unable to use its reporting mechanism to make the complaint. We are sorry for any instance where people have been subjected to harassment, abuse, or otherwise mistreated and or felt that it was not adequately dealt with. So this is the organization that owns Doctors Without Borders are selling medicine in lieu of sex, and they're actually using prostitutes. This is what these claims are saying, but we'll keep on the story, and we've done this story before along with some other charities, but I just thought it was always, you know, it's interesting to make sure that we put these stories out there. Now, I just want to remind you, you're listening to Esprinet News. You can call in and join us at area code 909-265-9189 every Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hey, this is where we do our weekly news wrap-up show. So, you know, join in. And I just want to say hey to everyone who's on the line. Hey to everyone who's in the chat. If you want to join in, you can hit 1 on your line, and I will bring you in if you have any questions or comments. Well, I shouldn't say I will. I may bring you in if you have any questions or comments. So just wanted to make sure I put that out there. Welcome to the show if this is your first time listening. Now, Lisa Marie Presley claims that her ex money manager lost a $100 million trust fund left to her by her father with reckless and negligent investments while paying himself a salary of $700,000. So she blasts her ex-manager, Barry Siegel, in these new court documents filed in Los Angeles Superior Court this week. The lawsuit against him and I guess his Provident Financial Management is who it is, but apparently they lost a lot of her money, $100 million. All right, now the publisher of the National Enquirer has been subpoenaed as a part of the federal investigation into Trump's longtime lawyer, Michael Cohen. I'm going to leave it at that unless you have any more questions because we're about to run into our Trump news segment, so we'll have a bunch of those stories. But, hey, if you want to call in or talk about any of these stories, you know, I have a tendency of skipping over the national news just to get more news in. So if you want to call in and talk about it, that's cool. We can. Now, the Pope condemned Trump, or the dotard Trump, for separating migrant families at the Mexican border, saying that populism and creating psychosis will not resolve the issue. So Pope Francis spoke out amidst the outcry over plans to prosecute all immigrants caught crossing the Mexican border illegally, holding adults in jail while their children are sent to government shelters. Now, I'm not going to say anything about this. I know I've talked about this on social media, but they're separating the women and children, or the girls and children. They've only shown the guys so far. I think there's going to be some things to be said about that. And coincidentally, our next story, immigrant children that are being detained in shelters have been held down forcibly drugged with psychiatric medication in a new lawsuit. Now, a class action suit that alleges that migrant children detained at U.S. facilities have been held down and injected with psychiatric drugs and other medications without their parents' consent. So if you want to check that out, I suspected that anyway, but, you know, now there's a lawsuit because they're not showing these facilities, and I'm sure they're going to have to show and prove at some point. But it's already in there, so I don't have to say any more about that. Now, British Prime Minister, she condemned Trump deeply disturbing immigration policy, which sees children being held in cages on the U.S. border, and vows to raise it when he visits the U.K. So Theresa May said that the images of vast detention camps housing young children who have been separated from their parents after their illegal boarding crossing were deeply disturbing and wrong. So also in the U.K., the British Prime Minister also said that although the U.K. Trump is really unpopular in the U.K., but she says that he's still invited to come there once a year throughout his presidency. Now, I don't think he went last year. I'm not sure that he's going this year, but he's still invited to the U.K. She said she's inviting him. But she's inviting him, and she said that she's planning on talking to him about his plan, which means he probably won't go. I think everybody knows he's a little thin-skinned. All right. Now, the government of El Salvador has said that it won't take people who are deported from the U.S. to, you know, returning to El Salvador. They will not take them until their country is satisfied that they've been reunited with their family members. So El Salvador has thrown down a marker and said that they won't even take any deportees the U.S. is trying to return to their home country until they're satisfied. Just wanted to make sure I threw that in. Now, an Oregon Department of Transportation employee, this is off of our other, you know, national news, but if you didn't see this in social media, I know, Kathleen, you may have run across this. We haven't brought the commission yet, but Kathleen or Kai, when you guys jump in here. An Oregon Department of Transportation employee has been placed on leave after she posted a vile comment on Facebook calling migrant children to be killed at the border. Now, she works at the DMV, by the way. The comment was posted by Lori McAllen, and this week in red, I personally think they should shoot all of them at the border and call it good. And she said, it'll save us hardworking Americans billions of dollars on our taxes. Now, she came under fire immediately for her heartless post, as it seemingly shut down all of her social media accounts after that, after hundreds of angry callers reported the matter to her employers and demanded that she be terminated. But instead, they placed her on leave already. But I'm sure they'll probably come out with a statement and say that she's been terminated. But this happened all in a week, less than 3 days' time. So mental note, stop posting stuff on social media, especially when you're crazy. It's just a public service announcement that I like to put out. Now, two Mexican mayoral candidates were murdered within 24 hours of each other. Now, that brings the death toll for this election season to 122. Now, I'm not sure if you heard me, but 122 candidates have been killed just this year in their election season. So Oscar Gomez Lotaro and Fernando Juarez were shot dead within 24 hours of each other. I don't know why I keep saying 25. 24 hours of each other. And they were mayoral candidates. Don't know what's going on in Mexico, but anyway, I'll leave that alone. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's wife is charged with fraud following the probe into falsifying household expenses. Now, the Israeli prosecutor alleged that Sarah Netanyahu fraudulently obtained hundreds of meals supplied by restaurants to the Prime Minister's office, official residence, in a breach of official regulations. Now, he's also under investigation as well. And again, this is the country that our country is pretty much pulling out of the Human Rights Commission or Council at the UN because they feel like, you know, they're being unfair to Israel. But Israel is prosecuting, apparently, Benjamin Netanyahu's wife, the Prime Minister's wife. All right. All right, I just want to remind you, you're listening to Esprit Net News on Esprit Radio and on the Ask Kathleen Network. Just want to say that. And you can call in and join us at 909-269-9189. This is where we get our weekly news wrap-up show. If you want to write us, you can always write us at news@soulofsyracuse.com or send us a message in the chat, and I'll see if we can get to you over there. I am making no promises, but we'll see if we can get there. All right. So also, you know, I want to remind you that we do have This Week in Court. I know I've missed that in the last couple of shows, but we'll have to do some news stories that was in court. I don't know, just to keep you on top of what's going on in the world. I know we did a couple already, but we'll do a few more. And also I want to say hey to my girl Kai. I see you on the line. Kai and Kathleen, whenever you want to come in, Kamish, just hit one of your line and we will bring you in and say hey to everyone else out there. And thanks for tuning in, by the way. You know. All right, now Canada legalized recreational marijuana after a bill passed the Senate, making it the second country in the world to have a nationwide cannabis market. Now the bill passed the Senate on Tuesday by a vote of 52-29 to end a 90-year prohibition. Now, the law makes Canada the second country to have a legal marijuana market behind Uruguay. Now, again, I am not telling anybody to do anything illegal, but Canada now has legalized marijuana. Okay, now, Modern Family producers, one of the producers from Modern Family has joined the outrage by Family Guy creator Seth MacFarlane and Bridesmaid director Paul Feig, the filmmaker Judd, I can't even remember his name, but anyway, Seth MacFarlane slammed Fox News political commentator Tucker Carlson over his statements to viewers about Fox News rivals. Now Tucker said, "If you're looking to understand what's actually happening in this country, always assume the opposite of whatever they're telling you on the big news station." So MacFarlane tweeted a response saying, "In other words, don't think critically, don't consult multiple news sources, and in general, do not use your brain." And they've all complained to Fox because, again, Family Guy is on Fox, and all these other shows are coming out to complain about the Fox News division. Again, for me, Fox News is not news, so just want to put that out there. Now, the Modern Family producer, I think he wrote that while he loved those working in the movies and the television division of Fox, he said, "I, too, cannot condone the support of their news division and what they promote towards the immoral and abusive politics and actions taken by this current administration towards immigrant children." So just wanted to say that Fox is having, you know, not until you start putting pressure on the back end of you know, those organizations, will anything ever change? So, hey, big ups to Seth MacFarlane. Now, a new study has come out that saying that white people, now this is not my words, white people are dying off faster than being born in the majority of U.S. states. Now, more white folks died than were born in 26 states in the U.S. in 2016, a first in American history that indicates that white folks could be edging towards becoming a minority sooner than previously thought. That's according to this new report. And it's the data comes from the National Center for Health Statistics. So the numbers are significant compared to 2004, when white deaths exceeded births in just four states, and or just 2 years earlier in 2014, there was a shift, and it occurred in 17 states. Now it's in 26 states. So deaths also surpassed white births nationwide for the first time ever in 2016. That's according to the data from the National Center of Health Statistics. They said that when births fail to keep up with the pace of deaths, a region is said to have a natural decrease in population, which can only be offset by migration gains. That's according to the new report from the University of Texas at San Antonio that analyzed that data. Now, whites accounted for nearly 78% of all deaths in America in 2016, but only 53% of births. Now, African Americans only saw a decline in one state, and that was West Virginia. I don't know what those numbers were. They didn't really disclose them, but it's the only slight for African Americans. And similarly, Asian and Pacific Islanders saw a decline in Hawaii. Don't know why that was, but there's a birth decline in Hawaii. Now, the states where whites have, the 26 states that have a negative birth rate would be Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Maryland, New Jersey, Delaware, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Ohio, Michigan, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Arizona, Nevada, California, and Oregon. You know, the last time I did this story, I think last year when these numbers came out, and it was only 17 states or the year before, I was questioned about what states were those negative birth rates. So I thought I'd add it in this broadcast, just in case you were wondering. Hey, you can look it up. Now, if you don't know anything about our news program, we usually do news that you're not getting on your regular news station. So if you would like to talk about some of those general news, I guess, news stories, hey, you can actually put it in the chat room. I may or may not discuss it, and when the commish comes on, or low-key, or somebody comes on, we'll see what we can do. Matter of fact, why don't we do this? Why don't we bring in the commish and see how this goes? Commish, how are you doing?
Hey.
I had to talk you up just because I was trying to figure out where should I go with that news story. I didn't want anybody to think I was making
like
it up.
Every state. I was trying to count, but I couldn't keep up. I was like, well, isn't that all the states? You just read every state right there.
Well, you know, I was going to go with the, what was it? The 26 states. So just so that there was no confusion, I wanted to make sure I fit them all in. Yeah. Because, you know, last time I did a story like that, and I said the 17 states, nobody, like, I was getting notes back. It was like, no, I never heard that story before, so I just thought I'd give a little bit more detail. Here's your state. Just find yourself in here.
That's right. Okay.
You know what? Before I speak to you, let me finish up my white folk news, because there's a couple more stories, and it might help to know why people are dying off faster. So,
okay.
This college student who tried to seduce tried to seduce someone by giving them chicken Alfredo and a Sprite was given a week in jail. Now, it's an Ohio man. He tried to lure some kid with food, and they only gave him seven days in jail. So, again, he needs longer than that. This is just in white folks' news because that would never happen for anybody else. You wouldn't get 7 days for trying to seduce some underage child. And
with chicken Alfredo?
Woman,
I mean, with chicken Alfredo?
He offered chicken Alfredo
and a
Sprite.
Are you going to put black or white on that?
You know what? I should have. I should have because, you know, I have one that can play black or white, but it's a disgusting black or white. So here's what we're going to do. While you're here, we're about to play black or white. If you're not familiar with black or white, for the audience, black or white is when we play a game in news to tell you if the perpetrator or the subject is black or white. So here we go. Because since I haven't run the music in a while, I'm going to have to give you some of this, Kathleen. Hold on. Have to cue it up on the board. Okay, so we got black and white up. All right, Kathleen. This is black and white. A woman drinks her dog's urine in a horrified video that claims that it clears up her acne and also helps to cure cancer. Now, we're not going to do this for a dog, but she said it has a natural glow. Is that woman black or white? She's drinking dog urine.
She's drinking what kind of urine?
When the dog goes to the bathroom, she's putting it in the cup.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Do I have
all
to play
right,
black and white on that one?
Well, I had to pause because I can't say what I'm really thinking.
I know
that
you know.
I know that would be so politically incorrect that I would charge my own self with a fine. So I won't say that.
Look, that's why I left the music up loud. We're about to curse. Yeah.
Oh my God. I can't
okay.
do it. Okay, so how
okay.
about I'm gonna go with white?
You're gonna be right. But I knew that was coming. Cause you know, I was just gonna skip to the next one. Now a 15-year-old girl is charged as an adult for fatally shooting her mother, whose body she and her lesbian lover tried to burn. She killed her mother. She's 15. She tried to kill her mother with her lesbian girlfriend. Is that girl black or white? Not her lesbian lover, because I don't know what. I haven't seen that one. But I just know her. Was she black or white? I can tell you her mama name, but that might give it away. Oh, did I lose you? Kamish? Oh. You must put me on mute again because your mic's open. Okay. All right, come back when you can, Kamish, because your mic's still open. But since we're playing black-white, I'm going to answer the question anyway. She was white. 15-year-old girl is charged as an adult for fatally shooting her mother. Her mother's name was Peggy, by the way. I figured that would have gave it away. All right. So, you know what? In a record-breaking, you know, Jeopardy, the game show winner pled guilty to computer crimes after hacking into her coworker's emails at a Michigan college. So Stephanie Josh, who taught at Adrian College in Southern Michigan, she pled guilty on Wednesday, and she was charged with unauthorized computer access. So that is what happened. Now, a naked woman wrapped in a bath towel steals a Georgia man's car and the beloved dog on Father's Day. So the Georgia man was reunited with his beloved dog on Monday after a mysterious woman wearing a bathtub sped off in his car with the dog inside, but she returned the dog. See, I was going to play black or white with you, Kamish, but I didn't know if you would be able to get that one. That one wouldn't have been tough either. Now, Blackish creator Kenyon Burris is no stranger to exploring political issues in his work. So the outspoken show creator has teamed up with music producer Pharrell Williams to develop a stage musical centering on the holiday of Juneteenth. Now, the African-American holiday tradition. Oh, by the way, it is Juneteenth. I forgot. We haven't done a show since Juneteenth. Happy Juneteenth, everybody. Now, if you don't know what Juneteenth is, it's an African-American holiday tradition celebrating the final day of the United States slavery. So Juneteenth represents June 19th of 1865 that the U.S. Army ship mandated that Texas landowners free the last of their slaves. That's 2 years after Emancipation Proclamation. So, you know, fans of Blackish will remember that Burris once wrote about the about Juneteenth in the episode on that sitcom entitled Juneteenth the Musical. And he said, for us, this project isn't about numbers. It's about humanity. Slavery is America's recessive gene, and it's time we all dealt with it. And what better way to have an audience swallow this dose of medicine than the amazing music and raw, honest, jaw-dropping comedy. So if you don't get a chance to see it, if you haven't seen Blackish is a really good show, but they're creating a musical, he and Pharrell Williams. Now also, you know, several actors have been tapped for their roles in the upcoming Netflix film Dolomite Is My Name. Now, Eddie Murphy is headlining the film of the blaxploitation pioneer actor and star of the Dolomite films, Rudy Ray Moore. And again, kids, if you don't know who it is, don't look it up. Wesley Snipes, Mike Epps, Craig Robinson, and Titus Burgess, and Divine Joy Randolph have now joined the cast. Snipes is playing Deverell Martin, an arrogant actor and alcoholic who ends up directing Dolomite. And the other actor roles are not known as of yet. But Hustle and Flow director Craig Brewer is at the helm of the project, which begins production in Los Angeles this week. So there's a Dolomite movie coming out again, in case you didn't know. Now, Chadwick Boseman, he won Best Superhero in that Golden Popcorn Statue from the 2018 MTV Movie and TV Awards. He was quickly praised as a true hero in the audience at the in Santa Monica. Now, the 40-year-old Black Panther star thanked the fans for accolades before calling a real-life Waffle House shooting hero James Shaw Jr. to accept the award on stage. Now, if you have not seen Black Panther and haven't heard me talk about it, that film amassed more than $1 billion in 4 weeks at the box office and became the third largest grossing film in North America. Now, Chadwick Boseman said that if you don't know James, he fought off the gunman in Antioch, Tennessee, a Waffle House. He saved lives, he's saying this ward is going to live at your house. God bless you, man. And immediately after the shooting, Shaw set up a GoFundMe page with the initial goal of $15,000 for victims. In mid-May, the total hit more than $441,000, and Shaw presented a check to the families of the injured victims at a private ceremony at Tennessee State University. So shout out to Chadwick Boseman, who I hope gets an Oscar for Black Panther and for him giving up his award to James Shaw Jr. for his real-life heroism in Tennessee. Just wanted to make sure I put that out there. Now, rapper Akon, I don't like calling him rapper. He's a hip-hop artist, really. Akon has unveiled a plan to build his own futuristic city in Senegal. Now, they want to trade in cryptocurrency called A-Coin. It's after Akon. Do you get it? Now, the proposal for the Akon crypto city says that it'll be a real-life Wakanda, referring to the technologically advanced country of the Marvel's Black Panther film. So Acoin's website says the city near the capital of Dakar will include universities, schools, a sports stadium, and an international airport on 2,000 acres of land. The government already gave them 2,000 acres. So in 2016, he launched his African music download service, and with a mission to promote African artists. So Akon, not only did he have a large project to, you know, provide lights in Africa, like street lights and that kind of electricity projects going on, he is now building his own city in Senegal. We're going to see how that's going to work out, but I wish him well, and we're going to keep an eye on that story as well. Now, I just want to remind you, you're listening to Esprit Net News. You can call and join us, 909-265-9189. We lost the commish. Must have had a hiccup in the matrix to get the commish out here. So we'll see her again soon. And just remember, you're getting a week worth of information in just one setting. So, hey, you can hit 189 and join in. Now, John Goodman and Sarah Gilbert, who was on this show, Roseanne, will return to ABC as the Conners after the network ordered, you know, this Roseanne spinoff. Now, the network had canceled the reboot of Roseanne over the racist tweets by Roseanne Barr, but now has gone ahead with a new show after Barr agreed to forego any creative or financial participation in it. So I guess they said, hey, you can't executive produce, co-produce, nothing. Can make no financial, you know, profit off of it. So there you have it. Roseanne is out of there. All right, now there's a Texas sheriff deputy, Jose Nunez, 47, was arrested Sunday morning for allegedly assaulting a 4-year-old girl multiple times and blackmailing her mother with deportation. So with all of this stuff that's going on in this country, now police officers are going to jail for this. One more thing to have to worry about. Now, there's two guys who are standing trial for the truck dragging death 35 years after the murdering of a black man and arguing over who would take the most credit for it. They're finally going to jail. Now, brother-in-laws Frank Gibhart, who's 59, and William Moore Sr., who's 58, are charged with felony murder in October 1983 death of Timothy Wayne Coggins near Griffin, Georgia. It's 40 miles south of Atlanta. Those fools were bragging about it, and that's how they got caught. But they should have got caught anyway. So, luckily, see, they're being brought up on murder charges now. And it happened in 83. I don't know what to say about that. Just stunned like everybody else. Now, a married woman in Oklahoma is charged for sex crimes against an 18-year-old, Jerry Ann Griffin, also tried to lure another boy, 15, who rejected her advances for which she will now face 20 years in jail. But that's all I want to say about her. She's not taking up any more news time. Now, West Virginia Supreme Court justice faced 395 years behind bars in a fraud case after ordering office renovations worth $363,000 and using state cars to attend book signings. So this West Virginia Supreme Court Justice Alan Lowry, who published a book on corruption in government, has been indicted on 22 charges related to fraud and witness tampering. He faces 395 years. That has to probably be the first judge that I've ever heard of that actually, you know, was charged with that kind of time. 395 years. All right, Kamesh, are you back? see you jump back on my screen.
You know, it's so weird that I could hear you, and I was talking and talking and talking, and until you said, look, you're on mute. I was like, but I'm not on mute. I wasn't on mute. I don't know. The phone just went out on me.
Hey, it didn't like my version of Black or White. It was just like having a problem.
So this man was, what was the name of his book? If I Did It, if I was corrupt.
Yeah, if I was a corrupt judge, this is how I do it. Yeah, that's pretty much.
It.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, don't worry about it. This is how corrupt judge. Yeah. Unlike in the OJ case, this was not a ghostwriter. He actually wrote this book. Like, it wasn't somebody else who wrote it. Yeah, yeah, that's worse, right? Now, yeah, children in the audience screaming, doing a circus, right? So the animal turned on its keepers moments after being forced to ride down a ramp during a performance in Russia. Now, it was a tiger, and they were trying to force it to ride down a ramp on a skateboard. So members of the staff tried to beat – I'm sorry, it wasn't a tiger. It was a bear, which is worse. Like, anything on a skateboard is kind of crazy. But the staff tried to beat off this brown bear with sticks, only to further enrage it. And it overpowered the male keeper, knocked him down, and attacked him on the floor in the middle of a circus.
Oh, my goodness. Was the little kids watching?
Uh-huh. Yep. Mm-hmm. I think they should have took a note from Ringling Brothers and been like, you know what? We're just going to have clowns. Like, that's high wire and clowns. Because the animals are getting tired. Like, this is just, there is a moral to that story. And I think everybody's just getting tired.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I don't know how many years you've been having the circus. And, you know, they're just now, either we just didn't hear about these cases or they're just starting to fight back. And I'm going to go with fighting back.
I'm going to go with fighting back, too. That's too funny.
Yeah, I actually like that a little bit better. Now, and you know, and there was another case, and I know I might have missed this story, but there was another case of, I want to say it was Yellowstone. Was it Yellowstone? It may have been Yellowstone, where they had four attacks in 1 week of like tiger attacks.
Uh-huh.
They need to step. People, I'm sorry, not it wasn't tiger. I keep getting my animals mixed up. It was bison attacks. So,
that's that new meat they're selling for hamburgers and stuff, bison.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
People have
now,
to be careful because they advertise it like regular burgers, and you're like, oh, this sounds really delicious. And then you're like, well, wait a minute. Get that thing home, and you're like, wait, this isn't beef. What? Because they don't exactly say what the meat is. This is a public service announcement for anybody who's listening.
Exactly. If they're not telling you, it's probably something you never heard of. Just don't mess with
it. That's right.
Now, you know, so let me tell you what happened in this case, though. This woman, 59, Kim Hancock, she was with a group of tourists, got within 10 yards of a bison. Wanted to take a selfie. The bison got agitated and charged into the crowd and gorged her.
Oh, no.
Hey, she's
Is
okay.
Is she okay? Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I would have said it that way if she wasn't, but she still was stupid. I'm sorry. Like, somebody, it needs to be said.
Can't just run up on a bison. What are you talking about?
You just can't run up on him. No. That's not right.
You don't even know what it is. You know it's a bison, but like, what is that?
What is a bison? It's a bull. They're like, it's just like a cow, but it's got big horns. Like, we know what a bison is. It's a bull. It's a large bull. Stay away from them. If you can.
Oh, my God.
Like, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm saying stay away from it if you can.
Uh-huh.
All right. Now, okay. Now, I don't know if you remember this story, but, you know, Ancestry.com holds the genetic code of more than 5 million people. Right, it's the largest private database of DNA in corporate history. So the company also holds the most expansive stockpile of spit, of human spit. They said they have hundreds of gallons of human spit.
Come on.
Now,
aye, aye, aye.
Hey, listen now. They are saying, no, see, I'm not just making this up. They're saying that. So the company reported a revenue of about $1 billion last year, right? And they're saying that they never throw away anybody's DNA. Not only are they taking your DNA and actually, like, making a profile in a printed report, I guess to copyright it somehow, they're keeping the samples that you give them so they won't destroy the samples. Doesn't that sound like that Henrietta Lacks stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're paying them $295, and they're keeping your spit on file. I don't know a better way to say that. You don't even have to store it. You shouldn't be storing spit. Just let it go. That's too much money. Just be storing somebody's stuff. I just wanted to put that out there. I don't know why I wanted to put that out there, but I just
I
need to say that. Thank you. That's my
better.
Public service announcement. Hey, you know, I always say, you know, you shouldn't get your DNA. You know, I've been
that's
saying that for the longest. Yeah,
uh-huh.
don't give people. Oh wait, since you're back, I have another black or white for you.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well,
do
on that
the
note,
music?
There you go.
Thank you.
So I have to do this with Lil, but you are getting another black or white since I rushed through them. So a Michigan driver gets a ticket for noise violation because he was playing NWA's F the Police in front of an officer.
Oh,
so
gosh.
He pulled into a Pontiac, Michigan gas station while listening to F the Police by NWA, and he turned up the music as a form of protest. Now, was that fool black or white?
And
I
think I asked this before. Is he he's alive?
Yes, he is alive.
And he's not in prison.
And he didn't get shot.
And he didn't get shot.
He's not in prison. They didn't arrest him. He got a ticket.
No.
He got a ticket for a noise violation.
Ticket for noise violation. That's not even a death warrant. Okay, so I'm going to go with white.
Because it couldn't have been no other way. It just really couldn't be.
I'm going with white.
Like, even if we tried, you play F the Police in front of anybody, and I'm sorry. He's white. I can't even hide that. There was no suspense to that either. Like, it wasn't even close. So how about this one? Since we're playing black and white, a boy 12 years old called 911 twice to complain that his parents had given him a salad. Was that little kid black or white? He called 911.
Gave him a salad?
Parents gave him a salad. And he complained about the salad. And as a matter of being dealt with, he then called up again and complained that they weren't taking him serious. The 12-year-old called 911 twice after they hung up on him the first time.
Okay, so I'm just gonna act like we're playing Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. So
okay,
is the little boy still alive?
Yes, the little boy is still alive.
Not from the police, but from his mama. He's still alive?
And that is the important question. Because you would think the two stories were related because we would ask the same question. But no, this is not a police matter this time. If he's still alive because of the parents. So, yes, he is still alive.
Okay, and he still has some place to live.
Now, that I don't know. we can't really be sure about this.
Is he living with his grandmother now? Or is he living with...
Is he in foster care?
Is he in foster care, or is he living with his uncle or his father that they're no longer... Okay, so I now black flag on me.
No. Or is he in a hospital? You might want to ask that question, because somebody probably would have got knocked out. So, no... I don't think that he's in a hospital, and there was no – I have no idea on whether he got kicked out of the house or not.
And he wasn't
but
in
he
the
did
morgue.
Call 911 twice.
And he wasn't in the morgue.
No. And I don't know if he actually still had to eat the salad either. I don't know if he actually ate the salad, just in case you were wondering about that.
Did he ever get another salad?
Yeah,
did he ever get
we know what his punishment
is
was.
Is he starving now?
yeah, because he ain't getting nothing else. But
that's it.
No, I can't be sure.
The fact that there's vagueness on the answer to these questions, I'm going with he's white.
yeah, because the headline of the story would have been totally different.
You know
it would have been totally different. It'd be like, remember that kid who complained?
Yeah.
Headline would have been totally different. Hey, you know, I don't know. I did this story before about the International House of Pancakes changing their name.
Uh-huh.
And they changed it to, instead of IHOP, the IHOB. And so they did this thing and said, hey, we're going to announce what the B is. And I actually thought it would be the International House of Biscuits. And
breakfast.
I think you said breakfast, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, again, I think the answer was it became the International House of Breakfast.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why they did that as some kind of marketing tactic. It is not breakfast. I'm sorry. You said breakfast, right? That's what you said last time.
I think so. Uh-huh.
You said breakfast. I said biscuits. They are actually the International House of Burgers.
What?
That's what they changed it to.
Okay, I'm going to go with white on that.
I should put the music back on. Yes, it is now. It is now the International House of Burgers. Now, you want to know? Excuse me. What the best response is to this is that someone tagged Wendy's in it, and they, because the burger chain's now got somebody else to compete with. On Twitter, Wendy's had the perfect response to this. Wendy says, why should we worry about competition from somebody who found it hard to make pancakes? that was a perfect response. they were like, he said, Wendy's better get your game up. They're like, they can't make pancakes. Why should we be worried? That was just wrong.
That was
Wendy's.
Good.
Yeah, it was good. Wendy's was wrong for that one.
I'm gonna go with black on that one. How about that?
Yes. The person from Wendy's who made that response, I'm gonna go with black too. I agree with you, because that was somebody who played a dozen. That's somebody who knew what they was doing. Wasn't an amateur.
The only thing was missing was your mama can't make pancakes. That's all that was missing.
See, Now, you would think IHOP would have been, because, you know, that late night thing with IHOP. You think they would have came back with a good one, but I don't think IHOP had anything to say. So I'm going to go with black for Wendy's. Wendy is black.
Yeah. I'm going with black, too.
Man.
I'm going
all right.
Black
so
too.
What? Yeah. All right. So what news stories did I miss today, Kathleen?
Well, I missed a lot of them. I joined a little bit late, so I apologize for that. And it's funny too because I've been waiting for the for tonight for like 2 weeks, and all day I was like, "Oh, sure." And then I look up and it was 11:15. So, you know.
You're like, "Okay." Yeah. Early on in the show, I kind of ran through the general news stories of, you know, the Trump stuff, the you know, Canada legalized recreational marijuana, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, two Mexican mayoral candidates were killed within 24 hours. They have a death count for this election season of 122 people who were running for office got killed already this year. 122.
Are you kidding me?
Now, that was shocking to me.
That is shocking. I never even heard of such before. Like, killed, like, murdered?
They got murdered. How can you run for office and just get murdered off the rip like that? That's just 122 this year for this election season. You need security to run for office. Yeah, you really.
Oh, man. This isn't good.
What state? You know, I guess they meant all of Mexico. I don't think they picked a state. I was just saying across the country, 122 people have died. And it was two mayoral candidates within 24 hours. So I don't know if they were in the same mayor's race, because that would seem like how many people were running for mayor. But sometimes you do have primaries. So, but two of them were killed. And the government El Salvador said that it will not take any deportees from the U.S. that, you know, the U.S. is trying to return them back to El Salvador. They said they will not take them back unless they're satisfied that they have been reunited with their family members. Everybody's getting in on this. Yeah.
I heard that. Talked about, I'm sure, the First Lady's weighing in, and also Melania.
I surely didn't.
Oh, you didn't?
Nope. I don't care about
that. You want to talk about that?
Yes, let's talk about that. So Melania Trump goes to, because when you say First Lady, that's Michelle. But Melania Trump goes to one of the detention centers.
No,
one of the smaller ones.
Her. Please talk about that, but I just wanted to qualify. No, I was saying that all the first ladies, prior first ladies weighed in on this. Yeah, weighed in on children being removed from their parents. I wasn't speaking of her when I said that. I meant first ladies, not.
Oh, okay, yes. Ladies. So, yes, so Rosalynn Carter, Laura Bush,
Michelle
Obama, and there was another one, wasn't it? I'm missing someone.
Yeah.
I hate to leave someone out. And the Trump woman. So all of them made comments about how inhumane and cruel that was to separate families. But you know what's weird about this whole conversation is that although we know it's inhumane and crazy, that the giddiness that the Trump administration, like the people, you know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders and all those guys are talking about this like, oh, we're not doing anything wrong. It shows how sick people are and how their humanity is just whacked. Because you figure if the UN, if the Human Rights Commission from the UN or whatever it's called, the council, if they come in and set sanctions against the U.S., everybody in the United States will fall out. But we are obviously, you know, committing human rights violations. Obvious.
Right.
I mean, it's blaringly obvious. But we'll go into other countries and be like, look how they're treating their people. And they'll act all indignant about it.
Yeah.
You know, like again, the United States is number one on crimes against its citizens. At the rate that a government kills its minorities, the way they kill black folks in this country, we made number one out of Amnesty International's list, crimes against its citizens, out of all the industrialized nations. The U.S. is number one. But, you know, that's going to hurt their feelings. But black people are dying. So since it doesn't affect white folks, then technically they can't see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That again, that hurts their feelings.
It hurts their feelings,
And that's why in other news I had to do the story of white folks dying off more than everybody else, because that's stoking the paranoia of the fact that there's more minorities in the country, and they seem to be the only ones who are dying at really high rates or dying off more than being born. So that's kind of creating the imbalance, right? They're thinking, oh, more people are moving here. It's like, no, y'all are just getting older and dying off. It's like there's a trade-off in there someplace. You know what I mean? Like it's not the people who are just moving here and took America kind of thing. I think they're looking at that wrong. But I'm amazed that story has been out for at least 2 days and nobody has done that story.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
I'm not amazed, but I follow you.
Yeah, anytime I've had that conversation, people are like, I haven't heard that. And I'm like, that is, it's not strange, but it's kind of how supremacy works. Nobody's going to say, you know, hey, you know, we're dying at high numbers. But that's why we have the whole opioid stuff. And, you know, we had the news story before about about the suicide rate going up. So people are, you know, if it's not the opioid, it's the suicide. And, you know, that's pretty much big in the news as well. So anyway, Europeans are dying at a higher rate. And that's not just in this country. We have 26 states, but, you know, Italy, who was it? There was another one who had some numbers come out recently about that. But it was Spain that said that if they didn't have their influx of the people migrating there, their population would have been decreasing. It's just the new...
Right.
People migrating that's keeping their population up.
Right.
Yeah. And I can't remember what country it was that, that might have been Italy, where they increased the social service so that people can have more kids.
That's awesome.
I don't have anything else about that. Yeah. Now, you know, they said that higher vitamin D levels cut caloric cancer rate by 31%. Is what a new international study said that they found. The report was led by Harvard, adds weight to the theory, which had not been proven, is what they're saying. 3/4 of Americans and 1/5 of Brits are vitamin D deficient, and colorectal cancer rates are rising. Now, again, I think that this is not necessarily – this is from not having a lot of sun. So we know the U.K. is pretty much rainy and gloomy there pretty much most of the year. But, you know, they're just saying vitamin D levels are causing that. So go out and get some sun, people. You know, and by the way, it's not the sun that creates the vitamin D, which is
that's it indeed.
Yeah, go out and get some sun. All right, okay, so what else did I miss? So we were talking about the first ladies, and it was something else.
The first ladies, we're talking about, well, I was going with Melania talking about how important it is for the children to be safe and staying together with their parents and all that stuff. And, you know, people are just wondering, okay, so is she
writing these 3 a.m. tweets, or is he writing those 3 a.m. tweets, or, you know, like, what exactly is going on? But she did show up in Texas this morning to go take a look at it. But, I, you know, it's just amazing to me that she's even going to position herself in the spotlight surrounding this conversation, knowing that her husband is the bully that caused it all. That's the part that is just amazing to me.
Yeah, I think she was shamed into it, you know. So those guys on MSNBC, Mika Brzezinski and all these other people for the last few days have been saying, what's the First Lady's platform? Don't they care about kids? What's, you know, Ivanka's, you know, does she care about kids? Somebody needs to go down there. And I think they shamed her, and they probably made her go. And she went there, and she does not speak English well, so let alone her translating anything. And she never made it to any of the detention centers. She talked to staff. So she went all the way down there and talked to staff.
But she could use
just for a photo op. Right. So she didn't do jack, is the moral of that story.
Yeah.
Again, what we expect out of that administration is they're going to do jack anyway.
Right. Really.
So, that's pretty much how that worked out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, you know, did we talk about the American Greetings company, the card company that apologized for the baby daddy card that featured a black couple after customers called it racially insensitive, and Target proactively pulled the items from the shelves, according to USA Today, and then American Greetings came out and apologized. They had a baby daddy card for Father's Day, and it had a black couple on the card.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Now, again, we play black or white because we know they ain't have no black employees. For somebody to actually let that go, it's crazy.
Yeah. That is crazy.
Yeah. And you know, the worst, not the worst part, but you know, another thing about that is that American Greetings, for them to do that, and the reason I know that they didn't have any black folks there is because who would give somebody a card saying something like baby daddy? Like, the child isn't. So Father's Day cards is going to generally come from the children, right? So there shouldn't be a really big market of somebody saying, hey, I want to thank my baby daddy just randomly, unless you're playing off some ghetto stereotype. So when mainstream corporations play off stereotypes, that is problematic. So American Greetings, and shout out to Target for actually pulling that before anybody complained.
Yeah.
At least Target knew it was inappropriate. I think they have some black people in management at Target, like at the corporate level, because they pulled it from all of the Target stores. So that was a good catch by Target. Just seems kind of strange to me. I didn't know if you saw that story at all, but it just seemed kind of, it was weird to even have to do that story. I'm thinking, who wouldn't have caught that? That just seems kind of strange.
It really does.
Mm-hmm.
It seems kind of strange. It seems kind of off. You know, just very weird.
Yeah. Now, you know, speaking of First Lady, again, she's still in the back of my mind, but First Lady Michelle Obama advised a group of first-generational college students to find a cohort for themselves when they arrive on college campus, and to dig into a plate of veggies every once in a while. So she was addressing the Beat the Odds Summit, and it's an organization she created to encourage every high school student to seek out higher education. She told a crowd at Twitter's Washington, D.C. office last week that she had an out-of-body experience when she first stepped on the campus at Princeton. Didn't even know what an Ivy League school was before she got there. And she said in her own experience, She was dismissed by others as a minority student, and people had told her that she didn't belong at the university. So she's saying, find a friend and then go through college. And I have to say, that is some really good advice, because once you have somebody else, you start going through the same similar experiences, so you don't feel alienated so much.
I agree. 100%.
Wow. Yeah. Now, have you seen the Jada Pinkett Smith's Red Table Talk? Those series that she has on Facebook Watch. Well, they added an additional 13 episodes to her season one. So she co-hosts the talk show with her daughter Willow Smith and her mother Adrienne Banfield Norris, and it appears it premiered on Facebook Watch. And it's just a series of intimate and candid conversations. And it's a weekly format, and they said that brings, you know, three generations of women together from different viewpoints to reveal their personal experience and thought about today's most compelling issues. So there was one episode that she had that I actually saw with her and what is her name? Gabrielle Union. And apparently she said she didn't know she had her as a rival, but you know, they didn't speak for like 16 or 17 years.
Right.
She said they would see each other and wouldn't speak and wouldn't talk. And it reminded me, wait a minute, Gabrielle Union was in like Bad Boys 2, Kissing Will. Remember that?
Yeah.
Bad Boys 2? And she said she still wasn't speaking to her. So Jada invited her over. And she sat down with her, and they both had a conversation. And Jada honestly said, I don't even remember why we don't speak. And I think Gabrielle said, yeah, I remember, like, trying to speak to you and having an awkward hug, like we see each other on the red carpet and not knowing if I should hug you or shake your hand. And they actually sat there and talked, really honest conversation. So it is a very grown-up show. But it's actually pretty cool. If you ever get a chance to see it, I think you can just search it in Facebook. But it's called Red Table Talk. And it's probably on YouTube as well. But it's like it's not even a half hour, I don't think. Maybe they're half hour shows. But they get into some interesting topics. I did see that one. Yeah. It's a good. They do a good job. That should be a regular TV show.
Yeah.
All right.
Diamond, I saw another show that I thought should be a regular TV show. Have you, let me see, I can remember the name of it. Well, one of them is She's Gotta Have It. It's a whole new season on.
I have not seen one of those shows yet.
It's
on HBO?
Quite good.
Or Starz?
Yeah.
Is it?
On Starz, I believe, because I can't get it.
Okay.
So,
So you watch the bootleg. Shh, don't tell nobody. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so I can pull it up. I can pull it up as well.
Those series are really very good. And then
okay,
I wanted
I'll check
to
them out.
Now, what I didn't think was that, you know, that great was Blackish. I was like, I want to whisper, because everybody loves that show. But I really, I have a bunch of episodes on. No, I couldn't.
Yeah, it was really difficult for me initially to get into Blackish, and then it's like a watered down. It's not even a watered down Cosby. It doesn't really have the substance that we're used to out of shows, but it does talk about some things that has to do with Tracy Ellis Ross's character being kind of disconnected from black folks and Anthony Anderson's personal experience. He grew up in Compton, so his overreaction to being black is kind of how they're saying it. But the moral of the story is that black people overreact for really good reason. Like, so,
yeah.
Like, there's an there's an episode of Blackish, and I'll have to find out the title of this episode, but where this little girl, this white girl, is on an elevator, and they have Anthony Anderson on security camera where the elevator opens up, and he sees the little white girl, and she's crying. And he looks around, and he's like, hey. But he wouldn't go towards her, and he let the elevator close. He was like, I am not going to be on the elevator with some crying white little white kid. And then the other guy comes up the stairs, and he was like, hey, I'm sorry I'm late. He's tired. And he's like, yeah, but there was a little white girl in the elevator. They tried to get me. He's like, you too? Like, they knew that it was a setup. So the whole story was, what kind of monster are you to not take care of a little girl? And it's like, we're black men. Like, forget what you heard. Like, so some of those episodes are actually pretty funny because it's kind of one of those, we overreact, and sometimes we overreact for a reason.
Right.
And some of them are good, but yeah, you're right. They have to grow on you. It really does have to grow on you.
Yeah, it was a little tough. And, you know, it's not unlike Girlfriends. As much as I did enjoy Girlfriends, there was a mm-hmm. greater balance to Joan and her whining. And
And there's not any here.
Because even the Jennifer Lewis, who plays the mother, she's got her own little thing going for herself, but not a whole, there's no Maya in there to, like, cut Joan with her nonsense and her whining and her da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
You know, so this is
there.
They have
to pacify and empathize the fact that she's whining on this show.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then Anthony Anderson's banter with her is almost like, oh, my God, he's so annoying. You know what I mean? So just as, like, the two of them. And, like, which part of this is real? When will they get back to sit up? So then they go into this whole separated thing where it just doesn't fit for that show.
Yeah. You know what?
Just,
and that threw me in the series because they had to do about 3 shows of that. And I was thinking that wasn't the right move, but that's how they decided to kind of go in the show. Instead of tackling issues, they went through their whole relationship stuff, and I thought, I don't really like them as a couple so much that it really that I would want to watch it.
You don't
side with them. Like, I hope they get back together. You're like, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah.
It just,
so yeah,
it did not fit. You have this amazingly happy Cosby-like looking, you know, pre-Cosby, if whatever you want to say. Looking family, you know, with the kids, the twins, and, you know, they're so hilarious and so great with their parents, and then blah, 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 and then, okay, we're getting a divorce. Like, what?
I just can't take it.
No,
yeah,
it just doesn't
fit. It did seem kind of out of the blue. So, yeah. Nope, but I haven't really, it does grow on you. So I have watched them, but there's some I don't even watch them all the way through. I have to admit that. All right. Now, I'm trying to think. There was another program that I want to mention. Oh, like Marlon Wayans' show just started back up. So this is the second weekend that it's on. And his is hard. It's the same way. It has to grow on you. It hasn't grown on me yet, but much respect to them for his show being renewed. But, yeah. It's about the same.
Yeah. I got one. I got something.
You okay?
Did you talk about Kobe?
No.
Okay.
And speaking of Kobe,
You didn't talk about his documentary, but the fact that he got the Academy Award for his documentary, and then most people who get the Academy Award are offered an invitation to join the Academy. And while he got the Academy Award, they did not invite him to join the Academy, which they really need to get some more black folks to join the Academy, because that was the biggest issue with the Academy Awards from just a year ago when it was hashtag Academy So White. You know, and so if they were trying to redeem themselves, they certainly would have invited somebody that just won an Academy Award to be a part of the Academy. So I
right.
and yeah, so that and the fact that my brother Wakanda Forever gave his
mm-hmm.
trophy for best hero
yes.
in a movie to the you talked about that. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes, James Shaw Jr.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
you know, I wanted to say this though. Everybody who wins an Academy, they automatically make them a part of the Academy. They just didn't do it for Kobe. But I think
uh-huh.
that's always been a rule. When you win an Oscar, you automatically become a voter on the Academy. And for some reason, he had to fill out an application or something for it. It's weird. But yeah, but only the black guy had to fill out an application.
Yeah. And then so my question was, you know, immediately I'm thinking about Tony Goldwyn. And I'm like, you spent all that time slobbing spit with Kerry Washington and you gonna let that happen over there? What are you doing? Come on. Help me out here. So,
that's a shame.
Rome, just let everybody know who I'm talking about and Tony Goldwyn.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh,
people may not know
from Scandal.
Right. But his relationship to the Academy.
Wait a minute. He's the one who now I have to now it's throwing me. He was the one who had the controversy with the Academy before, right?
No, this guy is like he owns the Academy. This is Tony Goldwyn of Goldwyn Myers.
Oh, from the Goldwyn Myers MGM.
Yes.
Goldwyn.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
He basically is the head of the Academy.
Yes.
And
yeah,
so that's
he actually
so
is.
Yeah. And so then so you are, and on all the interviews, everything he was on, blah, blah, blah. He's so liberal. Of course, he's got this, you know, black leading lady, and he's cheating on her as the president. But, you know, and you just that it was so confusing to me that. And then there's I don't know if she's still the president, but there was a black female president of the Academy at the time when it was Academy. So I just was really confused when they came down with this. I'm like, they should be running after Kobe. They should be running after people who didn't win. To get them to be on the board.
And I told you I have a friend who votes for the Academy.
Yes,
she's
in
news. Yeah, she's a producer, and but she's been an Academy voter for years that I remember. I think she still is, but it's weird because again they always add the winners onto the Academy list, so maybe they feel like they got enough black people. But I didn't want to say that. But that's what it sounds like to me. It's like, okay, we good. Y'all good? We good. So,
oh, boy. Somebody said it was because they thought it was because of the charges brought against him for the alleged incident that happened when he was still playing with the Lakers. So even though he was convicted, no charges, you know, they said, so, you know, this was just like people.
I think they start making stuff up now.
But they can't. Nobody can get it, so they're like, "Well, okay, well, maybe it's because he has a black dog." You know, it's like
exactly.
People are trying to feel better about this, and so
maybe
they're like, "Well, maybe it was that. Because what else could it be?"
Yeah, I think it's because he's black. I think it could be that. I can think that they ignored the fact, and because sometimes they do this to black folks. Oh, you didn't want to be on the Academy anyway. Like, I think they just tried to blow him off. I think they ignored him as an oversight without inviting him, and somebody caught it and then said, hey, you're in the Academy's list, right? And it was like, no. So I think they caught it. I think somebody, maybe a lower-level staff member, was like, we not sending his out. I guarantee you something like that. See, and this is a bigger point.
He applied and was denied.
Right. But I'm saying, like, this he probably got denied by somebody who was like lower in the totem pole. It was like, oh, he randomly wanted to apply, you know. But like I said, this is what supremacy is for the rest of us, is that sometimes it just takes systemically. The company is not doing that. If the head of the organization isn't, you can get a lower level staff person on there that makes the decision that they don't want you in there. And then everybody be like, oh, how come Kobe not here? Kobe's like, shoot, I got denied. You know, like, they're like, what's her name, Becky? You know, like, I can't believe she did this again. You know, so, It can always be something like that. But on that note, I, you know, couldn't figure out what it could be, but I knew it had to be something. It had to be something silly like that. Probably something silly like that. All right. What else did I miss?
I don't think I have anything else right off the top of my head other than, I guess that's it.
You're like, I'm not gonna go with it. All right, I have a bad news story, but I knew I was gonna have to save it till last.
A bad news story, you say so?
A bad one.
Oh no!
This is South Korean news, though. So in South Korea, they could ban eating dogs after a court ruled that killing animals for meat is illegal. Killing dogs for meat is legal. So the meat has been a long part of the South Korean cuisine, and about 1 million dogs are eaten annually. But they have a new decision that paved the way for outlawing eating canines. Thank you very much, and I'm never going to South Korea. That's all I have to say about that story. Yeah, I didn't know that was...
You can't end on... Sorry, you cannot end on that story. No. I don't even have to
produce
the credit, and I'm standing firm. You cannot.
You're like, I don't want to go to sleep with that thought. I was just doing a story.
So we need something.
We can go back to chat with both. Oh, you know what? No, here, I forgot this one. So, because we have time for this, you know, Shadow and Act or. In another website, sometimes I'll look at black movie news stuff through Shadow Act. So they had the top 10 TV fathers. So I'm gonna give you the top five, and I just want you to do the rest of them, okay? So the 10th top TV black father was Ray from Tim Reed, who was in Sister Sister. I can't remember his last name, Ray something. And, you know, the TV show with Tamara, T.N. Tamara, two twin sisters.
Yeah, sister.
Okay, yeah, sister. So 9 was Terry Crews, who played Julius Rock in Everybody Hates Chris. 8 was Bernie Mac from the Bernie Mac show. 7 was Carl Winslow or Reginald Val Johnson, who played in Family Matters.
Uh-huh.
The other one, which I was surprised because I was just watching this the other day because I never watch it, was Hal Williams, or he played Lester Jenkins in 227. They said he was the most underrated portrayal of a black father. So, okay.
Really?
So that was the, yeah, because you never think about it, but he always kind of went to work, never, it was 227 was about Jack A and all of them, so. But he was always stable. Like, he didn't have no drinking problem. Didn't like he had a stable character on there. It was a good portrayal of even how he dealt with his daughter, which I can't remember her name. Anyway, so we're left with the top five. So top five. Who would you think would be the top five black fathers on TV? And I'm going to tell you, the rest of them on their list is all from comedies. What would you think? Kathleen, did I lose you? Okay, see? I think we got cut off again.
All
right. Okay, are you back? Okay. So top five TV fathers. These are comedians or comedy shows. That's what it looks
Bill
like.
Cosby.
It's in their top 10. Okay.
Bill Cosby, right?
Oh, okay. I'll give it to you in order, but yeah, he's in the top five, yes.
James Evans. What's his real name?
That would be John Amos.
John Amos.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, you got three more.
These are top five black fathers, right?
Yep.
Okay, so Reginald Bell Johnson, you said, right? He should be up
yep.
there.
Yep, he was already there.
So I need two more dads. What are the black shows that I watch?
Three.
No, we got three. Reginald Bell Johnson, John Amos.
No, Reginald Bell Johnson was number seven on the list. So we talking top five.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, top five. And is this like up to current or is this just like many years ago?
Come up to current.
Okay, so Daddy Pope. Are these comedians?
I don't think he was a good black role model. I don't think any of them on that show. It was scandal. Like, I don't think any of them was a role model for anybody.
Okay, so they were good role models. Okay, give me another father, black father on TV. Oh, what's his name? Damon Wayans.
Hey, you know what? They're missing Damon Wayans from my wife and kids.
Yeah.
I knew they were missing somebody.
Okay.
Yeah, he was a good father.
Yes, he was an excellent dad. Hilarious with the son, though, but wow. bear with me, folks. Bear with me. What is, another TV show, black TV show. Oh, what's his name? Oh, and you said sister, that was down the line. Our friend, what's his name? I can't think of his name right now. Okay.
So I can tell you who we already have. Okay, so it was Tim Reed, who was in Sister. It was Julius Terry Crews, who was Chris Rock's daddy and Everybody Hates Chris. Bernie Mac, Bernie McCullough. Carl Winslow, Reginald Johnson. Hal Williams from 227.
Okay.
You give me one more and I will give you the top five. I need one more.
You need one more. Okay.
And I think you're going to even be able to guess one. Maybe able to get this one. There's one on there I think you're going to be able to get. The other two, you're going to be surprised.
George Jefferson.
There you go. The number five was Sherman Hensley, George Jefferson, for literally moving his family on up.
That's
Jefferson
right.
was one of the first few times that we actually saw black people not taking jack from white folks on TV. George Jefferson was gold, according to this story. And you want to know who number four was? I don't know if he was
James
a good father.
Earl Jones? James Earl Jones, even though he wasn't their father?
No.
But anyway.
No. It would be Red Fox, Fred Sampson. Sanford.
Oh, my gosh. And I still
watch
that.
Probably one of the best father-son relationships in not only black television history, but in television history in general.
History.
He wasn't always perfect, but he was a great representation of black father. Fred Sanford.
Yep. Lamont and Pop. Yep.
Yeah.
That's it.
And so number three was Cliff Huxtable, but number two was Philip Banks, James Avery, from The Fresh Prince.
Fresh Prince.
Bel-Air.
Yeah, he was a good dad.
Yes. And, you know, number one was the strongest of them all, was John Amos or James Evans. He worked hard for his family no matter what sacrifices he had to make. Aside from this, he was a very real portrayal of a black father on screen and not the perfect image of concocted in everybody's mind. He was just a real black father. And how real this survey is, or how the order is, is he actually lost his job on Good Times because he fought for the strong portrayal of a black man. So not only was he one, when they tried to water down his role, he was like, no. So he is definitely number one black fathers in black television. Honorable mention, we do have to give Damon Wayans some props on that.
Absolutely. And he was on for a good while.
Yes. I actually like that show, My Wife and Kids. It was on for a while. So, we missed that. Yeah, so on that note, I guess I'll have to do another top 10 next show, Kathleen, because we got them jumbled up a little bit. But we'll have to make sure that we do one.
We need to do the top 10 black mothers on TV.
Oh, you know what? We'll have to accumulate a list for that. Top 10 black mothers next week. We'll do that.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, we'll see you again next week. Thanks for tuning in. I want to say hey to everyone online. I think that's my cousin Adria in Texas. Hey, girl. In Houston.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in. Low-key, I see Low-key was on the line. You know, he might have a long day tomorrow, so he didn't jump in. And Brother Sean, see him out there. So, all right. So we will see you again next week. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for hanging, Kathleen. Kamish.
Hey,
and
although you
committed a couple of crimes, you're still good.
I did. Yeah, but they were just misdemeanors. They were felonies in my head.
But they were still just misdemeanors. I almost cracked a deportation joke on that little misdemeanor thing, but I didn't want to do it. It's too soon. Too soon. I'm not even trying to go there. All right. We will see you again next week. Thanks for tuning in. Later, Kamish.
Later.
All right.